You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported,
community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community and supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Benedict Jones.
And I'm Erin Wager-Miller. This is the Daily Local News for Monday, January 14th, 2019.
Because other people in this country are clear about power, they have constructed a set of things that have eroded both our democracy and the power of our individual vote.
Later in the program, WFHB correspondent Michael Glab speaks with Kate Hess-Pace, founder of Hoosier Action. That's coming up on today's edition of Big Talk Extra with Michael Glab.
Also coming up in the next half hour, Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community. But first, your daily headlines.
The Monroe County Democratic Party elected the first person of color to lead the party on Sunday. Jennifer Crossley beat out Penny Githens in a close vote yesterday during party elections at the Nat U Hill Room at the Monroe County Courthouse. Crossley is the first non-white head of the Monroe County Democratic Party, according to party officials. She replaces outgoing Monroe County Democratic Party chair Mark Fraley, who served as the head of the organization over the past 4 years. Crossley is still among only a handful of women to lead the Monroe County Democratic Party, with Pat Williams and Lee Jones previously heading the group. Jones now serves as a Monroe County commissioner, along with Julie Thomas and Amanda Barge, on the first woman-led county government in the state. The Monroe County Democratic Party also elected former state Democrat official Trent Deckard to the Monroe County Council. Deckard replaces Jones on the council after she resigned that seat to join the Monroe County Commissioners.
Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton filed for re-election today. The first-term Bloomington Democrat became the 26th mayor of Bloomington in November of 2015. Since then, Hamilton's administration has led efforts to solarize much of City Hall and other public buildings in Bloomington. He also led millions of dollars in investment in the downtown Trades District and the soon-to-be-completed Switchyard Park on the city's south side. Hamilton's administration has also garnered controversy, primarily over the purchase of an armored vehicle by the city's police department. The $250,000 investment drew community criticism from Bloomington Black Lives Matter activists and allies who have demanded greater public transparency into public safety purchases. Hamilton's administration was also criticized for publishing the names and addresses of overdose victims on the city's public data portal. Those names and addresses have since been removed. Tune in this coming Thursday during the Daily Local News to hear an interview with Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton about his re-election bid.
The federal government shutdown is now the longest on record. That's complicated things for researchers who depend on federal grants, federal employees like those who maintain the Hoosier National Forest, and for state agencies which rely on federal funding. In Indiana, almost 600,000 food stamp beneficiaries were told on Friday that they will not receive food stamps next month. The Indiana Family and Social Services Administration, or FSSA, announced on Friday that they will be distributing SNAP benefits, the new name for food stamps, early this month. The FSSA receives their funding primarily from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Family Resources Director at FSSA, Adrena Shields, says those benefits will not be distributed in February due to the shutdown.
SNAP benefits are distributed on an EBT card, typically on a monthly basis, starting on the 5th of each month, for about 19 days, starting on the 5th, every odd day, through the 25th of the month. However, as a result of the partial federal government shutdown, we will be distributing SNAP benefits on Wednesday, January 16th, for those individuals that are eligible for February benefits. So they will receive their benefits early.
Shields says the FSSA is complying with federal budget guidelines.
As part of the partial federal government shutdown, the last continuing resolution allows the federal government to issue benefits 30 days after the last act, and that occurred on December 21st. So all states must have their SNAP benefits issued by January 20th. And so in order for individuals to receive February benefits, we will be issuing our benefits on the 16th to meet the last continuing resolution. There will be no SNAP distribution or issuance of benefits in the month of February. So we're encouraging all of our recipients to plan accordingly, since there will not be any additional issuance during the month of February.
Shields says the FSSA encourages the 585,000 Hoosiers who regularly depend on SNAP benefits to ration this month's early allocation. It's not clear if the federal government shutdown will continue into February, and Shields says her office is uncertain as to when they will receive additional funding to reinstate SNAP. Shields says the Division of Family Resources encourages those SNAP beneficiaries who are not to receive additional benefits until mid-February to treat this Wednesday's early allocation as their February benefits.
I highly encourage individuals to think and plan and prepare that there will not be another issuance in the month of February. So the benefits that we distribute on Wednesday, January 16th, that will be the last distribution until further notice.
Shields says while the number of SNAP beneficiaries changes month to month, her office estimates around 585,000 people use SNAP every month. That's nearly 10% of Indiana's 6.5 million estimated population.
Indiana's Secretary of State, Auditor, and Treasurer were sworn in this afternoon. All three women are Republicans who successfully won in November. Secretary of State Connie Lawson won re-election to the state's highest elections office. State Treasurer Kelly Mitchell also won re-election after taking office in 2014. Auditor Terry Klutz won her seat this past November. The three began their four-year terms on January 1st.
An Indiana lawmaker who alleges she was sexually assaulted by sitting Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill has filed three bills aimed at increasing the legal penalties for sexual assault and sexual harassment. Mara Candelaria Reardon filed three bills in the State House, including one which would make it a misdemeanor to repeatedly fondle or touch someone in a sexual manner. That would be escalated to a felony if drugs or alcohol or threats were involved. Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill is accused by three women and Reardon, the Indiana lawmaker, of repeatedly groping them last year. Hill denies the allegations. For WFHB, I'm Benedict Jones.
And I'm Aaron Wagermiller. The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. They're found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Kate Hess Pace came back to her hometown of Bloomington nearly 2 years ago to start up a citizens' empowerment organization called Hoosier Action. Since then, the member-owned and run nonprofit has advocated for improved health care, consumer protection, and increased voter participation around Monroe County area and downstate. Called a visionary organizer, Hess Pace says people in her line of work are born optimists. She joined host Michael Glab on last week's Big Talk. The conversation continues on this week's edition of Big Talk Extra.
Well, Kate is a social justice warrior. And a fellow by the name of Jesse Meyerson, who apparently has helped you set up Hoosier Action, he has this quote on you. She is a visionary organizer. What do you think he means by that? A visionary. How is one a visionary if one is an organizer?
Well, I think all good organizers, of which there are many across the country, ultimately we're optimists who believe and can start to see a better world and have committed ourselves and our lives to that, to the task of bringing, getting closer to that world.
Optimist. Right before we started this recording, we talked about, well, who's at fault for the, you know, the state we're in these days. And I threw it out there that, hey, the citizenry has been asleep. But you said, hey, wait a minute, mister.
The reason why people don't have what they need or have less in communities is because of a power disparity. Our work is to organize people into collective blocks to build power so they can win the things they need in the world. So it's less of individuals aren't doing what they should, and more how do we build and be a vehicle so that we can collectively build power and win things like higher wages or paid sick time or end predatory lending. And none of that will happen without building power. Part of what you're doing, and sometimes people call community organizing being a democratic practitioner. So you are teaching and training and working with people to build their capacity to act for themselves and their communities.
That would be democratic with a small d?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And also I would say because other people in this country are clear about power, they have constructed a set of things that have eroded both our democracy and the power of our individual vote. So yes, your vote matters, and we're going to be working hard on the elections, but there are many, many other ways for people to exercise and build power for change.
A whole bunch of groups from around the nation got together, went to Washington, and went into the various senators' offices while the ACA repeal was being argued, and did actions at these offices. It was called Kill the Bill, Don't Kill Us.
We sent five people, four members of Hoosier Action. We're affiliated with a national group called the Center for Popular Democracy, which has community organizing groups across the country. And they brought people from all 50 states to go into each Republican senator's office that was going to vote to repeal the ACA.
Were there arrests?
Yes. Taking arrest isn't something that we take lightly, and it's not something we'll do regularly, but it is a tool in the toolbox of ways that we assert and build our power. And for us, we've been talking to hundreds of people who stand to lose their health care if the ACA was repealed. And so that, for us, required disruption to make our voices as loud as possible that this vote was going to kill people across the state of Indiana.
This is disruption in terms of civil disobedience.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Does it work?
It certainly has through the course of the history of social change. It is always needs to be a tactic embedded inside of a larger strategy. So it's not like we just disrupted and participated in civil disobedience. We've called and we met with Senator Donnelly, state director, and we've collected lots of stories. We had op-eds placed in the Washington Post and on Mike.com about Hoosiers that would be hurt by this vote. So yes, it works if it's embedded inside of a larger strategy, which is what you saw over time through the civil rights movement.
You were here growing up with your family in Bloomington. Then about 2010, you dashed off to Minnesota to work with a group called Isaiah. What's that all about?
Isaiah is a organization across the state of Minnesota that does faith-based community organizing. So they work largely with faith institutions, and that's really where I cut my teeth as an organizer and learned skills and led a set of campaigns around mostly economic justice issues and then defeating the voter ID amendment that was on the ballot in 2012.
Would some of those same issues be at play here in Indiana?
Absolutely. I got an email this morning about a new payday product that is coming through. And Indiana doesn't have great laws for everyday consumers. And in fact, even in this town, there's a bunch of subprime car lending that happens so that people that have low or no credit are the most likely to be ripped off and charged interest rates up to 300%.
What odd days we're in.
It is a strange moment in this country's history. Yes, it is.
Sort of a crossroads?
I kind of hope it's a crossroads. I like I said, I'm in a vocation of optimists, not unstrategic optimists, maybe pragmatic optimists. And I do see a lot of people angry and woken up to the necessity to redirect a whole set of things in this country.
Are there a lot of people who just think that the whole system's corrupt and so why should I bother?
Yes, there are. And there's a lot of people that are kind of mired in shame and despair. And a lot of the work of bringing people, of organizing, is bringing people out of kind of a personal shame and a despair that things can't get better and that the world just comes at them over and over toward some belief that we can collectively be a part of something better.
So in a way, part of your job is to get out there and sort of grab people by the shoulder and say, come on with me. Is that true?
I mean, I think so. I think organizing in some ways is a set of deep and powerful invitations for people to think differently about who they are in the world and what's possible, and to take a couple steps forward towards that vision.
And one of the ways to do that is to knock on doors.
Yes.
Which you have done here in Indiana already.
It's true, yeah.
You had the door knock action. You were concerned about cuts in Medicaid.
Yes, but I should say, so Hoosier Action, we are a base building organization. So
yes.
That means we don't advocate on behalf of, but try to build a base where people are really leading the organization. And we're member owned and driven.
Uh-huh.
So the door knocking, the catalyst for it was really the potential cuts to Medicaid and also what Governor Holcomb is trying to do in terms of a work requirement on Medicaid. But the conversation with people is much longer and expansive. And then we try to follow up with people as much as possible and bring them into the organization. So the door knocking is not just a one-off conversation, but a longer attempt to build relationships with people across the county. And I should say we're also working outside of this county.
Always the optimist.
That was Kate Hess-Pace of Hoosier Action, speaking with Big Talk's Michael Glab. Full episodes of Big Talk air Thursdays at 5:30 p.m. right here on WFHB.
Support for WFHB comes from Lauren Wood Builders. Lauren Wood Builders is a family-owned company that sources local materials and local craftsmen to minimize environmental impact and sustain community. More information is available online at laurenwoodbuilders.com.
Now it's time for Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community.
Welcome to Activate, featuring audio profiles of local volunteers who stand up for what they believe in, spark change, and create meaningful impact in our community. We invite you to get to know some of these volunteers through their inspiring stories of service.
Hi, my name's Joel.
My name is Alex.
And I'm a volunteer with Life Design in a program called Life Mentor.
And I'm a client at Life Designs.
I moved here to work at Crane, and my kids and wife are not here, so I have some extra time. And so I saw, well, let me find some way I can help. Life Designs really helps out with folks with different backgrounds. There's a missing gap where folks like Alex, who can work, who, you know, learning. Alex wants to drive, wants to move out on his own at some point, and so he's very, very sharp. He knows more about the news than most people I've ever met. So he's fantastic, and so Life Designs sometimes doesn't have the staffing to cover down on folks like Alex, who are right caught in the middle. And so the Life Mentors are volunteers who come in and help bridge that gap. And so it's just a wonderful opportunity to get to know Alex and other folks. So this is a brand new volunteer opportunity that's just starting up. It's a really good opportunity to get to know people outside of your normal network. And we both like sports. We've been to a couple of football games.
Yeah.
And we're about the same height, too. We have the same shoe size. We both wear 15s. Yeah. Both like pizza. Both like eating. One night, he called me and asked me if I wanted to shoot zombies. I didn't have anything going on that night. So there I was. I said, yes, let's go shoot zombies. While we were there, we got talked into going through the Barn of Terror. And it was good fun. You know, but it was something I wouldn't have done without Alex. So I'm really glad that he thought of the idea and that we went.
I appreciate that he helps me out, that he takes out the community and does stuff with me.
I think a lot of humans like me are often dealing about themselves and are prideful, and we care about our own needs and interests. Life design sends us through a pretty intensive training. So you really open up your perspective and broadens your horizons on people who are very similar to you, and they see the world very differently. And so it's good to understand other perspectives. And just like when you travel to another country or another spot in the world, your horizons get broadened and you understand the world a little bit better. That's how you grow. Friendship, relationships are still a phenomenon in the human experiment. And I think that learning how to trust somebody, and I trust Alex. Alex trusts me,
right.
And I think we have a good communication, and trying to find areas that we can both expand and get out of our comfort zones. And I think that does good for both of us. In life, when you have mentors, they kind of just stretch you, you know, like applying for the new job or trying for the next goal. You don't think you can do it, but a mentor can kind of walk you, coach you to that point. But it's just kind of a knowing that he's got somebody he can call me in the middle of the night or 2 a.m. or something if he's ever in a need or needs some help with something. But I'm also just a friend, too, to build up a relationship and help him out wherever I can. And mutually, stretching me, you know?
Both of us.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I like that he's outgoing. He likes to help people. He's doing a good job. He's just a good guy.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks for listening, everybody. My name is Alex.
And I'm Joel. And I volunteer with Life Design and Life Mentor.
You've been listening to Activate, a co-production of WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to inspire, engage, and connect individuals to their community. Listen to episodes of Activate online at WFHB.org. You can read more about the profile, see photos, and connect to featured organizations and causes. And visit BloomingtonVolunteerNetwork.org to discover even more opportunities to serve, give, and advocate. Get inspired. Inspire others. Activate in your community. For WFHB Community Radio and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin and Sarah Vaughn in partnership with CATS, Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Michael Glab.
Activate is produced by Lucy Shake from the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network. Our engineer is executive producer Wes Martin with help from Chantel LaFontaine. Our theme music is provided by Ben Lumstein, Scott Schmadeke, and Danny Graff. For WFHB, I'm Aaron Wagermiller.
And I'm Benedict Jones. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast, as well as all other WFHB news programming online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news at WFHB.org.
Stay tuned for KiteLine, a program amplifying the voices of those within Indiana's prison system. That's coming up next, right here on WFHB.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB Bloomington Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@wfhb.org. You can become a Daily Local News volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. You can find an archive of past shows and individual news reports online at wfhb.org and catch live broadcasts of the Daily Local News Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. We are local, longer.